The construction industry in Indiana has depended on Quality Supply and Tool, a local family-owned business, to deliver quality sales and service over the last 25 years. The employees make the difference, like sales expert Nick Worley.
What sets us apart is we only offer quality tools and supplies from quality manufacturers. We have a quality trained sales and service staff knowledgeable of the products we sell and offer. Quality. It's in our name.
On South Harding Street in Indy, plus Bloomington and Jeffersonville, Quality Supply and Tool thinks outside the box. Store.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks. With jQuery and Mike Thompson, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Good evening to you on a Tuesday, and a good-looking Tuesday it has been here in Indianapolis, Indiana. My name is jQuery. Mike Thompson will be joining here shortly as we do Beyond the Bricks. Episode number 2, as a matter of fact. My thanks to Eddie Garrison, as always, as well as Sam Fritz for their behind-the-scenes work, as well to Joe Koppel here at Urban One Radio in downtown Indianapolis for putting us in touch with Quality Supply and Tool. We thank them for their sponsorship of this program. Again, think outside the box store. If you need to place an order, you can always call a local branch of Quality Supply and Tool and let them stand behind you in Indianapolis, Jeffersonville, and Bloomington. You can find them online, qualitysupplyandtool.com. Whether you're talking about heavy-duty regulators, whether you're talking about rolling workbenches, whatever it might be for your working needs, it is your one-source supplier. And again, we thank them for being involved. You know, I've never liked the word anniversary because that's usually a celebration. Tonight, it's not necessarily a celebration, but we mark the 46-year-ago passing of the voice of the Indianapolis 500, Sid Collins.
Yeah, it's a day that it's sad to think about when you think about the fact that it's the day that we lost Sid Collins. And, you know, such an important figure. When you think about the people who were such key pivotal figures in the history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, someone who, you know, was never behind the wheel, you know, never turned a wrench, but one of the true key pivotal figures in the history of the Speedway.
You know, I think you can realistically say, and I don't think that I'm saying anything here that has not been said many times probably before, but would you agree that it's fair to say, certainly, that if you look at the zenith of the Indianapolis 500-mile race and the growth of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, while the drivers and the automobiles and the speed were enticing to people, and that's what lured people in, quite frankly, Mike, I think that a big part of kind of the legend of the Speedway comes from the fact that when you talk about radio, and then if you were at the track itself, the public address announcements, there's a magic to the theater of the mind that comes with describing something and people then using their own imagery that they come up with to put color and pictures to the words that they're hearing. That took place for a lot of people when they were at the track, because if you were listening to the public address system and Tom Carnegie's talking about what's happening in turn four, but you're sitting in turn one, you're waiting in the early days, you know, 30, 40 seconds before they eventually get to you. And you're then able to match what it was that Carnegie was describing. But certainly from a radio standpoint, Sid Collins' ability to describe not only what was happening live at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but then afterwards on vinyl record and things like that, to narrate what had taken place, created for people the words that they then used to create that tapestry in their mind, but they needed somebody that was an artist to be able to describe those words first.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's 100% accurate, and it really takes me back to the times of my life that I just love, which was listening to the 500 on radio with my family, you know, keeping our charts. You know, Sid and Paul Page would say, you know, for those of you keeping charts at home, we did that. We kept giant wall charts, and And that was really important. We were all there as a family listening to the race, but it was all theater of the mind. And you would hear, you know, the description of Danny Sullivan's spin, and you in your mind wonder, what did that actually look like? Well, you wouldn't get to know what that looked like until the tape delay broadcast later that night on ABC. So you were relying 100% on the radio network to tell you what that looked like. And then in your mind, you were thinking, okay, how did Danny get away with that without wrecking and taking Mario with him? And so it was all theater of the mind. And Sid, I think, was such a big part of the growth of the sport and the growth of the 500, especially because, you know, while he wasn't Sid, I don't think was a gearhead or one of those type of guys, but he loved the people. And that's why I connect a lot with Sid and love Sid so much, is because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think anybody who knows me, that's not going to be a surprise when I say, I don't care about wing angles. I'm like Donald a lot in that I don't care about wing angles and engine displacement. I honestly don't care about any of that stuff. I care about the people. I care about the stories. And you can tell in Sid's interviews, and you can tell in the way Sid handled and conducted himself when he was around drivers. You know, he had a reverence for the drivers. He really liked the drivers. He became friends with a lot of the drivers and things like that. But you could just tell how much he loved the event. And, you know, he really brought home the excitement of a rookie driver making the race. You know, how excited are you for your first turn, you know, time going into turn one and things like that. And I really think that really helped, you know, convey that to the people at home.
You know, I think going back in talking about the history of Sid Collins in terms of the fact that he worked at WIBC, the fact that he, you know, was fearful over the fact that Sidney Kahn was his original name and he was worried about anti-Semitism and thus changed his name to Sid Collins. The fact that he became the chief announcer in 1952, taking over from Bill Slater and introducing more thorough concepts in terms of the coverage for the Indianapolis 500 in minute-long increments as opposed to smaller updates, and then recruiting in other radio stations to form what became the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. And, of course, being able to do the race in its entirety with turn announcers. I think that most people are familiar with those stories. Most people are familiar with who Sid Collins was. So perhaps fitting that what we do tonight is simply let you hear who he was from Sid himself, and for that matter, Mike, from Freddie Agabashian. So take me through the first piece of audio that we're going to hear here, which is kind of a role reversal for Sid Collins.
Yeah, this is kind of fun because, you know, Freddie obviously worked together with Sid pretty closely. You know, Freddie was the driver analyst for several years on the radio network. But in 1961, Freddie, while he was working for Champion Spark Plug Company, put together several vignettes for Champion. And one of the vignettes, he would interview various people. He interviewed some drivers. He interviewed some from behind the scenes people. We'll hear a couple of those hopefully later in the month. But one of the people he interviewed was Sid Collins. And he turned the tables a little bit and interviewed Sid instead of having it be the other way around.
So this is what it sounded like back in 1961.
This is Fred Agabashian speaking to you from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're going to have a little turnabout. I'm going to interview Sid Collins, the chief announcer of the Indianapolis Speedway Network, who usually interviews me.
Freddie, I've always enjoyed interviewing you because it was fun. You know, many interviews get very dull, but you always had something very witty to say.
Well, thank you, Sid. It was my pleasure as well in the past. Sid is chief announcer of the Indianapolis Network. For the last 14 years, your responsibility grows each and every year. How many stations will you have on the network this year?
Well, Fred, as the last several years, we anticipate over 400 stations plus the Armed Forces Radio Service. And by the way, when you mentioned 14 years, I know you as probably the most superstitious race driver who ever existed. You wouldn't even take green money. And I got past the 13 years last year, so I feel pretty confident.
By the way, I'm not superstitious. I'm just cautious. Looking back over the progress of the network system, give us a little outline of how it's grown in the past.
Well, Fred, back in 1952, when this particular individualized network began after being carried by one of the national networks before, we've grown from 26 radio stations to this particular size. And we're live in Hawaii and live in Alaska and around the world, too, to all of the foreign bases and ships at sea, so it's really been a tremendous success.
Well, Sid, I'm honestly looking forward to working with you on the project again this year. That certainly was an exciting race to announce last year, as far as I'm concerned. What would you say was the most exciting moment you can remember at the Speedway?
Well, Freddie, last year, I think, I still have the black and blue marks when you were nudging me, and you probably have some from my return nudges when Roger Ward and Jim Rathman came around time after time, just seconds apart, and, of course, the tremendous job they did with the tire wear problems made for one of the closest finishes ever.
Yeah, the tires did play a very important part in winning and finishing second on that. By the way, how many announcers will we have on the Speedway Network this year?
Well, we'll have 11 voices going. There'll be 35 in the crew with engineers and producers and directors and runners and statisticians and other help. And Fred, this year we'd like for you to try something additional, if you don't mind. I'd like to have you...
Freddie's ready.
As always, I'd like to have you talk with the various drivers who drop out of the race directly from our spot in the control tower above the starting line, right down to the pit. And you can find out through your own unique interrogation why they came out.
Sid, I think this would be very enlightening to our listeners. It would be terrific.
Well, you've been second-guessing in the past why they were going out. Then when they do, I can find out this time if you were right.
Well, the past has proved pretty well we were right. Lucky, we'll say, huh? By the way, will you be involved in any of the festival activities prior to the race this year?
Well, we're going to give our chief mechanic of the pole car over $5,000 in gifts. There's the big golf tournament, the parade, the coronation ball, the governor's ball. It'll be a big, big gala week here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Thank you, old buddy. This is Sid Collins.
And Freddie Agubation.
And Freddie Agubation. Sid Collins, of course, is the chief announcer of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network.
Should probably point out, by the way, that while they talked about the fact he had been on the broadcast for 13 years, he was named chief announcer in 1952, but worked as a South Turn announcer, reporter, if you will, before that. Thus, the total of why it would be year 14 for them in 1961 with Sid Collins. That's not to say, Mike, that Sid Collins wasn't also capable of kind of having a lighter side, right, and having a little bit of fun with things, including good old Joe, right?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things I've found in the last couple years, actually. I was working with the 1953 broadcast a couple months ago, and you know, obviously, way better than I do, Jake, about doing live reads. I've never really had to do live reads, but I know you have to do live reads.
Well, just for example, yeah. Like saying to people, you know, Quality Supply and Tool, you should be thinking outside the box store, right? That's an example of a live read.
That is a great example of a live read, and we appreciate their support of the program. So live reads are very important, obviously, and so we have an example here of Sid doing a live read, which is fun because Sid introduces us to good old Joe.
Fans, as you know, when you put the old family bus into the regular service station, that good old Joe comes out and dumps about 5 gallons of gasoline into the gas tank and cleans the windshield. You talk things over. Well, that boy would never make a race mechanic, not at that pace, because in a speeding race car needs to come in the pits, as you've heard today. The driver signals the crew that he'll be in on the next lap, and they're waiting for him. And there's no friendly, idle discussion about the turn of events. Every man has a place, and he better be there. 6 mechanics allowed on the track. That puts one on each wheel, a man to put the fuel in the tank, and a man to serve as the driver and talk to him and give him instructions. And out he goes again in less than a minute in most cases. And that's what Luke and Greg are checking on for us all day today in a very hot spot in a busy place in the pit area.
Now, wait a minute. If I'm good old Joe, aren't I a little bit offended that he's talking about how long it takes me to do something versus those at the racetrack?
Yeah, well, see, good old Joe needs to pick up the pace a little bit. what I was thinking, though, is there any possibility that our good friend Mark James, we could convince him to work good old Joe somewhere into the broadcast on race day?
You know what? Probably so, right? Probably so. You know, for that matter, who knows? At times at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, when there's a rain delay or things might get chilly, I certainly hope that doesn't take place this month of May, but Mark might ask for a good old cup of Joe, right? Just to help to kind of get things going over the course of the month of May. You know, there are some legendary figures that have stopped by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway over the years, and that includes some of those that are known for not only their speaking voice and being interviewed, but singing voices as well. And whenever those sort of dignitaries came by IMS, Sid Collins, Mike, never hesitated to try to interview him.
That's right. And he, you know, obviously one of the things I think people have to remember about Sid's broadcast, and if you're not that familiar with having listened to a lot of Sid's broadcasts, much different than what Mark Janes and you guys do on the crew today, what Paul Page did, what Bob Jenkins did. You know, that's real time. This is happening now. Sid's broadcasts were done. I like to tell everybody that if you listen to Sid's broadcast, he's more of a master of ceremonies for the world's largest picnic. There's a race going on. I'm going to tell you what happened in a couple minutes, but not necessarily right now. If I've got a guest in the booth, that's going to typically take precedence over what's happening on the track. And so, you know, he would keep you up to date, but, he had a lot of guests in the booth. And in this particular year, in 1953, he had Mel Torme, the well-known singer, who was a racing enthusiast. He was very interested in sports cars and racing. So some of the guests, obviously, it was their first race, and you know, it was harder to get something out of them because maybe they didn't really know anything about racing or weren't familiar with it, or really maybe didn't even care about racing necessarily. Mel Torme was not that. Mel Torme really had an interest in racing. And so Sid, in 1953, interviewed Mel Torme.
Sid Collins back here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway once again, friends, and we're watching a very sizzling race. We haven't had new records set since the end of 100 miles, but we'll probably have some more before the day is over if things keep on with Bill Vukovich leading this pack as he is doing. And right now, Art Cross is second in 16, and Marshall Teague has moved up to third in car number 22. As you know, this greatest single-day sporting attraction in the world draws celebrities and people from every walk of life, from all over the nation and many, many foreign countries. We have Rudy Valley here in the stands. Also have the Firestone family who have done so much for racing and automobile tires. Mr. Henry Ford, Benson Ford, and William Clay Ford, the driver of this year's pace car. And many, many guests, Jane Greer, who will kiss the winner, and celebrities too numerous to mention. But a good friend we've made here at the track these past few weeks has been Mel Torme, the Velvet Fog himself. I don't know how a fog will sound over 33 roaring race car engines, although we don't have 33 left right now, Mel. But I know that you're a race car and sports car enthusiast yourself. What do you think of your first look at our big 500?
Well, you know, everybody told me, Sid, that it was going to be a fantastic event, that it would be a great experience, but I had no idea of the magnanimous scope of the Speedway. I had the good pleasure of being in the pits, of meeting the guys, of kind of being in on the pre-race activities, and also today when Wilbur Shaw said, "Gentlemen, start your engines." A great thrill. And I find that the interest, the changing of positions and stuff in general has kept my interest beautifully. And I'm certain that this record crowd that is jammed in the Indianapolis Speedway today is just as thrilled about it as I am.
This is an event I'm sure you'll long remember, right?
I certainly will. I'm going to try to make it every year if I possibly can.
Come back and talk to us whenever you do.
I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sid.
Mr. Mel Torme, singing here in Indianapolis this race week, and a sports car and race car enthusiast himself.
1 minute you are talking to Sid Collins at the Indianapolis 500. The next minute you are serenading Kramer on Seinfeld. The Velvet Fog, Mel Torme with Sid Collins. Now, that's not to say that Sid Collins, when celebrities would come by, didn't necessarily always avoid maybe a hot topic question or a controversial one. As a matter of fact, Mel Torme was 1953. In 1954, Marie Wilson stopped by to talk to Sid Collins, and there was a controversial question involved.
Event I've ever seen in my life. When they started out, why I screamed so I lost my voice.
What are you wearing today? You can describe it much better than I can.
I'm wearing a complete white outfit, gloves and shoes and hat, and I know to the driver I'll probably look like a clean white towel.
And he'll probably use the dress for that too. You better watch your step down there. It's kind of greasy, you know.
He's welcome.
And you know what you're supposed to do when you get down there, don't you?
Yes, I'm supposed to kiss him. Am I supposed to kiss him on the mouth or the...
Well, that depends on you. You're on your own when you get down there. I know Don Sutton from BorgWarner will bring you up to date.
Fine.
Wonderful to have you in Indianapolis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Miss Marie Wilson, who's been brought here by the BorgWarner Corporation to award this gigantic trophy to the winner of the 500-mile race. Actually, the winner doesn't get to take that trophy home. He takes a replica of the trophy and a lot of prizes as well.
I'm not going to comment how many years ago that was specifically, but enough that probably some of those questions, not what I should ask if I'm having a female celebrity up, right, Mike? Long time ago.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Marie Wilson wanted to know if she was supposed to kiss him on the lips or not, and Sid's, hey, It's up to you. You figure that out for yourself.
Whatever you like. I also, and I get the fact that like red carpet stuff is like, now who are you wearing? I guess who are you wearing is probably better than what are you wearing, right? But it's radio, I guess, and we'll go back to theater of the mind. We'll continue taking a look back at the greatness of the career of the man whose voice is synonymous and always will be with the Indianapolis 500, Sid Collins. When we come back to Beyond the Bricks.
In the construction business and can't find what you need, Quality Supply and Tool has served Hoosiers for over a quarter of a century. Tom Hawk is the branch manager of the Indy location on South Harding Street.
We've always been big on keeping our shelves fully stocked of inventory of industrial-grade tools, concrete, masonry products, as well as the necessary accessories to help get the job done. You don't have it, you can't sell it. Our experience allows us to help with getting the pros as well as the weekend pro taken care of.
Quality Supply and Tool also has locations in Bloomington and Jeffersonville to help you think outside the box. Store.
Fans, now stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
Planning a luncheon or buffet? Well, then try Stark & Wetzel Smorgasbord, the full pound package containing four of your favorite Stark & Wetzel sliced luncheon meats. This famous trophy loaf, made of extra lean chopped ham, tempting pickle and pimento loaf, rich and smooth texture, colorful olive loaf with those green olive slices and pimento centers, and wonderful old-fashioned loaf with that real home-style seasoning. Yes, you get four flavorful luncheon meats, perfect for picnic convenience, for quick lunches, and for party snacks. Made only of tender, lean, U.S. government-inspected meat, flavor-sealed in a vacuum package, their superb freshness and flavor is guaranteed. So look for Stark & Wetzel Smorgasbord at your store. Get four delicious kinds of Stark & Wetzel sliced luncheon meats in one convenient pound package. Remember, in Smorgasbord, in any meat, you get the best of it when you get Stark & Wetzel.
Jake Query, Mike Thompson, Beyond the Bricks here, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box store. Mike goes without saying, Trophy Loaf is the gift that keeps on giving every year, is it not?
I was busy making a trophy loaf sandwich while you were doing that live read.
Did you have the wonderful pimento in there?
I did. That's the rich good. Olive loaf as well.
That's good. Yeah, nothing sounds more tantalizing to me than a rich olive loaf. I hope Trophy Loaf's not still around, by the way. We might be in trouble if they are. We're talking about Sid Collins, who obviously is as important as anybody when it comes not only to the Indianapolis 500, but also, of course, the creator, the man behind the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, which is a part of, albeit perhaps in an auxiliary sense, the Indianapolis 500 history that is very close to both myself and Mike as well. Because, Mike, I know you've done a lot of great work for the radio network as well and are a part of that family in terms of your contribution, which means something to you as it does to me as well, to be able to be a part of that. We've also been talking about, Mike, the fact that Sid Collins, I think, and I think you said it really well, you know, he handled the broadcasts kind of in the sense of, we're at the world's most exciting picnic, and I'm going to tell you what's going on, and oh, by the way, there's a race going on, so we'll let you know what's happening with that. But he was never afraid to interview different celebrities. And I think that Sid perhaps even saw himself as, you know, an Ed Sullivan type and somebody that could put himself in that sort of an arena. And that includes some of the biggest stars of the era, which includes our next audio clip that you have pulled, Mike.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Sid kind of saw himself as another Ed Sullivan. I think he was very fond of Ed Sullivan. He had met Ed Sullivan a number of times, and I think he was very fond of Ed Sullivan and saw himself as kind of a variety host. You know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Sid hosted a number of programs on WIBC, including a show called The PM Party. And The PM Party, he was essentially a variety type host. He would have all kinds of different guests on that. Now, we don't, I'd love to find some air checks of PM Party, and I really would love to, you know, one of my holy grails is to try to find in the archives Sid doing Captain Sid's Treasure Hunt, which was a game show that he hosted. I would love to find Sid doing Captain Sid's Treasure Hunt. But yeah, I mean, I think he saw himself as kind of a, you know, doing this Ed Sullivan role. And in this case, one of the biggest stars of her time was Jane Mansfield, who had some Indianapolis ties through her husband, Mickey Hargitay. And she came to the Indianapolis 500 in 1960 and had an opportunity to be interviewed by Sid.
Another guest has stopped by, a young lady. I don't know if this is her first 500-mile race or not, but I know that she's been very much enjoyed being seen here at the track because she's a very famous star, just back from Europe where she made a movie, Miss Jane Mansfield. Hello, Jane.
Hi, Sid. How are you doing?
Are you having fun?
Yes, I'm having a wonderful time. This is my first 500-mile race. I've been to races in Stockton and other places in California, but nothing was ever like this.
You know Freddie Agabation, my curly friend here?
How are you? Nice seeing you.
Charlie Brockman down at the end of the booth over
there. Charlie, how are you doing?
Where'd you get this beautiful boutonniere that says 500 on it?
Well, it was given to me at the hotel this morning where we're staying, the Marriott Hotel here in Indianapolis. So I'm all decked out for the race.
Well, we certainly hope that you enjoy yourself, and thanks so much for stopping by, Jane.
We sure are. We got in Wednesday, you know, where we did the Loves of Hercules. Mickey and I co-starred in Europe, and we came in especially from Rome to see the race.
Well, you should have a favor. They've nicknamed Jim Herdebees Hercules in this event.
Oh, have they really?
Yes, indeed.
Well,
you watch him, will you?
I think Roger Ward is going to come off with it.
We'll see what a good race predictor you are. Thank you, Miss Jane Mansfield.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye. Well, as I turn back around here again toward the racetrack, Mr. Agabation, we have on the track at the present time, Mr. Jim Rathman still holding down that lead, and Jay Mansfield's choice, Roger Ward, in second spot, and Johnny Thompson in third. Bettenhausen's car, evidently, is not causing too much trouble, even with the smoke.
No, you're right, Sid, and here comes Troy Ruttman. He just made a quick pit stop, too, while you were looking at what just left.
Luke Walton now in the south pit. Come in, Luke.
Jay Mansfield's prediction was only off by 2 years because Roger Ward would win it in 1962, of course, and that year where she was in the booth, it was Jim Rathman that would win the Indianapolis 500. A number of stars, Mike, whose audio that you have pulled was Sid Collins. So take us through the next in terms of the megastars of really a multitude of different levels in both film and television that we hear from with Sid.
This is one of my all-time favorite radio clips, which is Sid in 1966 having the opportunity to talk to Cesar Romero, who, of course, everyone will know as the Joker from the Batman series, but also was the star of the classic film Lost Continent, which is a mystery science theater classic that you might enjoy, Lost Continent with Cesar Romero. But this is one of my all-time favorite clips because and I'll tell you on the back side why, but really, this is one of my all-time favorite Sid Collins clips.
We have a guest coming by. We saw last evening. Cesar, how are you? Nice to see you.
How are you?
Let me get up here if I can under these wires and say hello to you. Cesar Romero, a guest who told us last night at the president's reception for the 500 Festival, it was his first 500-mile race, and I'm sorry it had to start off this way for you, my friend.
Well, I am too, Sid. It is my first race, and everything has been so great so far. A tremendously exciting time. The 3 days that I've been here up until this present moment, coming here this morning and going around the track, everybody screaming and yelling and cheering. It was really tremendously exciting, but my heavens, when I saw what happened there, of course, I thought that probably somebody must have been very badly hurt. All I could see were tires flying in the air, and it looked as if cars were turning over, and it was an awful mess. But I think we can all be tremendously grateful that no one was badly hurt at all.
We're thrilled over that feeling right now.
Oh, yes, yes. But it's such a shame, because these men work so hard all year long for this one chance, and it's terrible to see a thing like this happen, to have them get out of the race even before the thing actually hardly got started.
Well, that's the way they feel about it. This is their life they work for, and this is the big one, you know, today, and not even to have a chance to compete is very frustrating indeed.
Well, I can understand that. Well, it's a shame. It's sort of a damper on it. I don't know why.
Well, they will do that. I think once we start again, of course, you won't see the 33 car field, but you'll see an abbreviated field, and I hope a good race, Cesar.
Well, I hope so too. But it's been a wonderful experience. I'm delighted to have been here.
Thank you for coming
by. Thank you, Sid.
To give you a gold-filled Zippo lighter as a guest of the network here for being on the program.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Have a nice time. Cesar Romero, very personable gentleman.
Gold-filled Zippo lighter made in, by the way, Bradford, Pennsylvania. In case you're wondering, in 1966, Don Branson, Billy Foster, Gary Congdon, A.J. Foyt, Dan Gurney, Cale Yarborough, Arnie Knepper, Al Miller, Bobby Grimm, Larry Dixon, Ronnie Duman, all involved in the opening lap accident that he was referring to. which was a bit of a downer, I guess, for anybody coming out to the race and not being able to see that flying start right off the bat. But the reality is, Mike, that any of that, so long as everybody was okay and not critically injured in that accident, you feel A-okay when you're able to walk away with a gold-filled Zippo lighter.
That's right. That's one of my favorite clips because, first of all, Sid, just out of the blue, that was the thing they did that year, was they gave everyone who came to the booth got a gold-filled Zippo lighter just randomly, which I thought was interesting. And I love Caesar's delight at, oh, thank you very much, Sid, for this just, you know, wonderful gift, right? So I, you know, everyone I think knows that I'm a big Indianapolis, you know, 500 memorabilia collector. I finally had the opportunity to see one of these lighters a couple years ago after the sad passing of Miss Mary Holman George. They had an auction in Terre Haute where they were auctioning off her personal possessions. And actually, she had one of these in her possession. And I was going to bid on it. I said, I'm bidding on this because I have to have the gold-filled Zippo lighter that Cesar Romero was so happy to get. And I thought, it's probably going to go for $100 tops, and I'll get this with no problem. And the bidding kept going up and up and up and up. And I stopped. I'm not kidding you. I stopped bidding at $350. And I didn't end up winning it. Somebody else won the lot that had the gold-filled Zippo lighter. So I'm still looking for my gold-filled Zippo lighter. I
mean, they're filled with gold.
From the radio network that Cesar Romero got.
You know, they're filled with gold, so probably $350. No, I'm just kidding. Pretty cool to have, though. I mean, something like that because of what exactly it represented. And perhaps a year later in 1967, there were a couple of guests that came by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that might have themselves gotten a gold-filled Zippo lighter, starting with Loren Green.
Back in the master control tower once again, and a man who certainly is used to riding on the range regardless of weather is Loren Green from the television show Bonanza. They have their sponsor's pace car, the Chevrolet Camaro, out here today. And Loren, we apologize to you for our Indiana weather. It normally isn't like this.
Well, I'll tell you, things like this happen at the Ponderosa, too. And it's just too bad that it happened with all these wonderful people out here. My, what a tremendous crowd of people that are out here today.
What do you do on the Ponderosa when it happens?
Well, we...
Mr. Holman wants to run right now.
Well, we get the cattle in, and we milk them 2 or 3 times, you know, just to keep them busy.
That'd be a full-time job with this crowd.
And then we feed them, and then we go out and try to clean off the range, get all that wet off so the cows can go out again and not slip around so much. No, this is, of course, we're kidding here, but it is too bad that on a great, wonderful day like this that the rain should have to come. But it does happen, you know, and it hasn't happened too often over the years.
Very, very seldom. 1950 is the last time we've had this race stop for rain.
I understand they have big engines here which come out and dry up the track. Is that correct?
That's right. There are some blowers that will go around, but we'll have to have some help from, of course, the water stopping in its downfall first, then some wind to come across. The wind really drives the track as well as anything over this acreage of ground.
I'm a little disappointed. It's developing into quite a race. Roger McCluskey came up awfully good, and Dan Gurney, and A.J. Poit, and a lot of the cars are running real good, and of course that STP, Pernelli Jones' car was really humming along, wasn't it?
Off to a fantastic start, and this is the test for it today, and I'm sorry they couldn't approve it in a continuous fashion. We might get back on the track again.
Yeah, I was sorry to see what happened to Mario Andretti, but maybe with this raining, he'll have a chance to come back into the race.
That's right. It could be a very great blessing in disguise for him.
Yeah.
Well, Loren, enjoy yourself somewhere around here, out of the water. Nice you came by to see us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Loren Green.
That 1967 race, by the way, was delayed on lap 19 due to rain. They came back and ran it the next day on Tuesday, May 31st, when A.J. Foyt was, of course, the winner. But during that delay, speaking of Bonanza, Loren Green wasn't the only star from that television series to visit with Sid Collins that was at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, a guy that many of you might recognize more so for his time later in his career on Little House on the Prairie. But Michael Landon also was at the Indianapolis 500.
Back in the master control tower once again. We're going off the air in about 2 minutes and be back in 30. And Mike Landon stopped by. The entire Bonanza crew is here, Haas, and we heard from Loren Green a few moments ago, Little Joe from Bonanza. Mike, you film your show, don't you?
Yes, that's right. We shoot at Paramount Studios in Hollywood.
Think I should film this one next time? We're cutting at it right now.
Depending on the weather, yeah.
Isn't this something?
That's a shame. I understand it's only the second time that if it is stopped totally, that it would be stopped. But however, I hear that at the airport it only rained for 30 minutes, so I think there's a good chance we'll be starting up again soon.
I hope you're right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by. Right. Mike Landon from California was here with the Chevrolet gang. They've been here for a lot of the activities here during the month of May.
Michael Landon was thinking to himself, wait a minute, the song says that it doesn't rain in Indianapolis in the springtime, but it certainly did that year in 1967. Taking a look back at Sid Collins, his illustrious career inside the booth, and we will hear more from Sid Collins, including when we come back, his final goodbye at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, and what happens when he's hungry and on the air at the same time? We'll elaborate on that as we return to Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, Think Outside the Box Store.
For over 25 years, Quality Supply and Tool has taken a customer-first approach to supplying the construction industry with all their industrial needs. Big corporations, on the other hand, think differently. Here's Ryan Ling to explain.
In my career, I've worked for the larger corporations. I've been on the other side. But the owner of Quality Supply and Tool gives us the freedom to take care of the customer no matter what. We stock only industrial-grade tools, and our full-service and warranty department truly sets us apart.
With locations in Jeffersonville, Bloomington, and South Harding Street in Indy, Quality Supply and Tool thinks outside the box. Store.
This is Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, Think Outside the Box Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Jake Query, Mike Thompson. It's Beyond the Bricks, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool Company, Think Outside the Box Store. Let them stand behind you. If you need to place an order, you can always call your local branch by simply finding out whether it's Indianapolis, Jeffersonville, or Bloomington, where to call. Check out qualitysupplyandtool.com. We've been talking about Sid Collins. This might be, and I realize, Mike, that you know we are talking about him on this day because it was on May 2nd of 1977 that we lost Sid Collins. But when we do this program, this might be my favorite that we do just because of the fabulous audio that shows not only the talent of Sid Collins, but really the scope in which the Indianapolis 500 reached out to people from all walks of fame back when Sid Collins was inside the radio booth.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that Sid could get Lauren Green and Cesar Romero and Mel Torme, all these people wanted to be in the booth. I mean, Dinah Shore, and they all wanted to be in the booth, and they all wanted to talk to Sid. And Sid, you know, Sid was a very personable person. He was a people person. And, you know, he did a great job. Donald always tells the stories about what a great, you know, master of ceremonies he was at different events and things like that. I think people really, truly gravitated towards Sid.
You know, among those that he talked to, not just inside of the entertainment world from a film and television standpoint, but other sports as well would stop by the booth. Correct, Mike?
That's correct. And I think this is an interesting person because I think Tom Harmon is who we're talking about here, a Heisman Trophy winner, but someone who I think we'll talk about a little bit more on the backside. But this is Tom Harmon in 1967 with Sid.
Tom Harmon is here, broadcaster in Los Angeles on the national network, covering this event, I assume, for his show this evening. And, of course, you know him as a great football player from Michigan and also a native of Indiana. Tom, nice to see you again.
Thank you, Sid. It's good to be back in the old Hoosier State.
You were on this microphone with me some years ago. I've forgotten how long, but you were here before in this booth.
I think it was 2 years ago, Sid.
Well, time goes by rather rapidly. It's nice to have you back. Were you here yesterday for the unfortunate weather?
Yes, we were kind of sweating it out a little bit, hoping they could get the race in, but they've turned up a beautiful day today, so everything's going fine.
You follow much racing out in California?
Quite a bit, as you probably know very well, that racing in Southern California is a very, very high interest sport. I see Les Richter and some of the other fellows who are more closely involved in it out there are here for the race, and they have fantastic crowds out there, Sid.
Well, it's growing all over the country. I think the figures now are the second largest attended spectator sport after horse racing, auto racing.
Well, the excitement, the enthusiasm, and I think that there's nothing that can replace speed. Everybody is interested in that.
Tom, I think we're picking up our turbine car down here for a pit stop, so stick around. And we have the glasses on. Chuck Marlowe, take him here in the north pit. Here comes Parnelli.
Right to center. He's just put up his air brake. They're moving the hood, the exhaust hood over the top. Again, the fireman moves in as the hoses move in to make the refueling. No effort to change the tires. The brilliant line. STP uniforms surrounding the cars. Granatelli moves over for a drink. This time he's out of the way of the wheel. Let's see how long it's going to take. All hands in that dead area working very hard on the car. They're giving him a bit more fuel this time. The last load must have been token load. Now they pulled away. They're giving the motion. Off he goes. Carnelli Jones in the turbine. Back to you, Sid.
A beautiful pit stop, and we could even see the smile on Andy Granatelli's face. He's the one who personally handed him the water, or maybe it was STP. I don't know what he gave him to drink there, Len. At any rate, that car is back out again and running very smoothly. Tom, you got a good look at that stop from here.
Yes, indeed. Well, Parnelli's an old favorite, so we're wishing him well. He's really driving a bomb.
Real nice to see you, Tom. Thanks for stopping by.
Sid, thank you.
Right. This is Tom Harmon from Los Angeles.
Jake, my question for you, though, is Tom Harmon, he won the Heisman Trophy in 1940, obviously an incredible accomplishment, but is it possible he's the only Heisman Trophy winner whose son is more famous than he is?
You know, I was thinking about that because his son, Mark Harmon, the answer probably is yes, because Mark Harmon, who himself was a college football player and then a successful actor, and most importantly, that means that Tom Harmon is not only a Heisman Trophy winner who later went on to work for ABC Sports, which would be why he was at the Indy 500 in 1967, but also was the father-in-law, posthumously perhaps, I'm not sure what year Tom Harmon passed away, but to Pam Dauber, who was Mindy from Mork and Mindy. And that's the most important thing, right?
Anytime that's correct, absolutely.
We're getting a Mork and Mindy reference. By the way, every once in a while, and I know this all too well from broadcasting the Indianapolis 500, but every once in a while, you know, you get hungry, right? You absolutely get hungry, and so that includes Sid Collins, right, Mike?
That's correct. He had a little bit of downtime in 1976 because of the rain delay, waiting to see if they were going to go back out on the track, which they did not because of the rain, and they were called the race, and Johnny Rutherford won. And he made a quick aside about what happens when he wants to try to eat when he's on the air.
John, thank you indeed. You know, people have asked me when I make talks around the country so often, how do you eat, or do you eat during a broadcast the race? And you just now caught me. I said, well, what happens is usually sometime during the thing, I reach out and I take one bite of a cheese sandwich or a chicken sandwich, and I get about the one bite in, and somebody says, like you did, Sid, and the part of the chicken sandwich is now heading toward Freddie Agabation.
See, it happens, right, Mike? And I'm not going to mention the fact that people often ask what happens when you have to go to the restroom during the broadcast. I will simply say that in turn three, it's the most advantageous place to broadcast the Indianapolis 500-mile race in terms of the turn announcement assignments, because there's a stairwell that goes down right there into one of the men's rooms in the northeast section of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And fortunately, the great fans of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, in the few times if there's a caution long enough that I'm able to hop down and run down those stands, figure out what's going on, and typically will kind of clear the area because they know I've got to get back on the air. Mike, a lot of fun tonight. Tomorrow night we're going to continue talking about some of the voices from the drivers that were winners in the early years of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. But to end tonight, we want to finish with a memory of Sid Collins, his final sign-off as the chief announcer of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
And now this final thought for our winner. Enthusiasm with wisdom will carry a man further than any amount of intellect without it. The men who have most powerfully influenced the world have not been so much men of genius as they have been men of strong conviction with an enduring capacity for work, coupled with enthusiasm and determination. Johnny Rutherford showed these qualities today in becoming victorious over the Indianapolis 500. Each year, many of you write asking for the sign-off quote, such as the one I just recited. If you wish a copy, send a self-addressed stamped envelope along with your request to me, care of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indianapolis, Indiana. Sid Collins, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indianapolis. Be sure to include a self-addressed stamped envelope. So until next May, this is Sid Collins, the voice of the 500, wishing you good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are right now. We're here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at the crossroads of America. Goodbye.
The 500, the 500, the greatest race in the world, from the opening bomb till the race is done. Thrill after thrill, the 500, the 500, the biggest and best of them all, and until then.
checkered flags on the display.